Hello, folks. Welcome to the broadcast. My name is John Satsbury here at Revival Now. I want to get on with our message today. This is a message that was inspired to me by Dr. Oral Roberts, the late Dr. Oral Roberts, the founder of Oral Roberts University, Oral Roberts Ministries. As many of you may know or have known, and some of the newcomers that don't know, Dr. Oral Roberts was left for dead basically by the doctor. His doctor handed his mom the death. Back then, when somebody had a kid had tuberculosis, they didn't have a survival chance. The chance of survival. The doctor actually signed his death certificate and handed it to his mom and walked out. Same with Lester Sumrall. Both similar stories. Anyway, what happened was he woke up and he was instantly cured, and he was instantly healed, miraculously. Two brand new full lungs. Went on to be one of the greatest evangelists of all time. Like my pastor said, you can't argue with a testimony. You can't argue with that. There's nothing, you can't argue with your own testimony. People cannot argue with it. It happened. It lights you on fire. I'm going to tell you something. When God heals your body, you know it. You know it. You have that feeling in you that it builds a fire in you that just won't quit. You want a fire built, you have God do something in you. I believe God's got a miracle for you. I believe God is going to heal a lot of people in this year, in the next couple of years to come. God is going to make a mass wave of healing miracles, and it's not going to stop, and it's going to keep coming, going on and on and on until we're called home. I believe we're in a major place for a mass revival. We're entering into a mass revival right now in our nation. Revival is breaking out. It is breaking out everywhere. The Bible talks about signs, wonders, and miracles shall follow those that believe. I don't even know how to describe it. I mean, people are literally coming forth with major healing miracles. Even like on people I've prayed for, or I've been joining in prayer for, people getting up and they're going home. Pastor. There's a pastor on here, Pastor Smith, had a heart attack, needed major prayers. I got together with other people and commanded life to come into his body. He's at home and he's recuperating well. He's coming out of it. God is healing him. You got people like, say for instance, a dear brother of the Broken Chains Christian Motorcycle Club. Grandbaby was sitting in a hospital with fluid and was not doing good on death's door. We got together, we prayed, and she's going home with her mama. Her mama gets to take her baby home and raise it up, and it can be. I pray to God that baby becomes a preacher. Stuff like that's happening everywhere. I mean, miracles are taking place. Despite everything you're seeing in the media, you gotta throw it out the window and look at the realm of the supernatural. What's taking place? What's going on? Who's being set free? Who's being delivered? Who's being healed? What miracles are taking place? I mean, we had days and there was healing revivals in days of old. The reason why we don't have as many healing miracle waves is because people have forgotten what fasting and praying is, which I'm going to be doing this week. Actually, next week. I decided to join with my church. I was going to do one as a minister for this broadcast. But I've decided to go ahead and follow along with the one we're doing in our church next week. So next week I'm going to be going on a fast. I'm going to be doing a fast, and I need you to pray for me. I'm going to be going from 8 to 6, no food. 8 to 6, no food. It means I'm going to eat breakfast, go through my day, and at 6 o'clock, I'll eat food. I'm going to do that time bracket. I can't go without food because the fact is I'm on medication. I need to have an adequate amount of food in me to have nutrients in my body. So from 8 to 6, no food for me. I'm going to be doing no food from 8 to 6. That's what God told me. God told me to do that. If you want to join in with me, fine. Join in with me. It's next week. And there's going to be some new things that's coming out too with the ministry and everything. But the thing is, like I said, the reason why we're not in heaven sin means nobody wants to shut their... Fast means to shut their mouth. A lot of Christians don't know how to shut their mouth. They don't know how to shut their flesh off. It's all, I want to be entertained. Sometimes worship is when you're in a quiet place, not when music's cranking up or you're swaying with the crowd. I'm all for all that. Don't get me wrong. But there's got to be a time in worship where you're just quiet. You're quiet. You're just sitting there listening to God. You're in His presence quietly. And just not saying a word, not letting anything be played. You just sit there and just get quiet and close your eyes and shut everything out. You got to shut everything out and get into that secret place with God where it's just you and God and the enemy cannot see you. The reason why the enemies couldn't see David 90% of the time is because he was in the presence of God. He was behind the Ark of the Covenant. It wasn't a shadow. It wasn't a dark place. Inside that Holy of Holies, the glory of God, the Shekinah glory was so bright, you couldn't see. They couldn't see. They couldn't make out. The enemies couldn't make out who was David and who was God. That's where our secret place is. I mean, God wants to do miracles in our lives, but we won't go in our secret place. We don't know how to shut things out. All we want to do is be entertained. That doesn't get the job done. We've got to get back to the ways of the Bible. The reason why a lot of these evangelists had such the mass healing crusades is that they fasted. They fasted and they prayed. They sought the face of God. They listened for His voice to know what to be able to preach. These miracles came because you had men who were consecrated. And people who gathered together in faith. It wasn't just because the man of God laid his hands on it. It had a part to do with it. That was just part of the language of it. But the thing is people had to get engaged with their faith. The thing is people forgot what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. When you're believing God for it and it doesn't exist, when you're standing in a place where you say you have it and yet it doesn't exist, but you know you've got it because of who you are in Jesus Christ. We've gotten into a bad rut in the church of not having that type of standing your ground. Nobody knows how to stand their ground. I mean, I've got people, you look intimidating. I'm not being intimidating. I'm meaning business with God. I come meaning business with God. You don't come in there acting all soft. And I mean, Jesus was never... People make mistake, and Jesus is a soft-spoken, easy-going, gentle person that danced around with sheep on his shoulders, and everything was just so peaceful and joyful, and it was all this good stuff. And it was just... And it's like they're a bunch... They act like a bunch of hippies. I mean, the Bible says many afflicted of the righteous, but God shall deliver them out of it all. But the kingdom of God has suffered many. It also says the kingdom of God has suffered many violence, but yet the violent take it by force. We are the violent. We should have violent faith. Write that in the comment section. Have violent faith. We need violent faith. We've lost sight of violent faith. Smith Wigglesworth had violent faith. Lester Summerall had violent faith. Dr. Oral Roberts had violent faith. Dr. Schambach had had violent faith. Dr. Reinhard Bonnke had violent faith. Michael Francine has violent faith. Pastor Rick Shelton has violent faith. Dr. Rodney Howard Brown has violent faith. The kingdom of God has suffered many violence, but yet the violent take it by force. It is ours in Jesus' name. It doesn't belong to the devil. Wellness doesn't belong to the devil. God never created sickness. I mean, you hear these religious jackasses sit there and say, go off and say, oh, you know that God put that on you for a reason, to teach you a lesson. What are we being punished for? Jesus took the punishment on the cross at Calvary. I mean, we've got to get back to the place where we once were, where God was flowing by His Spirit. I mean, we've taken everything away from the new generation. What we've done is we've created a powerless Christianity for the next generation, a powerless, violentless Christianity for the next generation. Then they don't know how, and you sit back and wonder why they don't know how to fight their battles and why they're getting the enemies taking them out. We've lost control. We've lost all our that violent faith. We need violent faith. The kingdom of God has suffered many violence, but the violent take it by force. I had to take my healing by force. I could get my hands laid on by my pastors till my hair fell out, until my eyeballs fell out. But it wasn't going to amount to a hill of beans unless I got that violent faith in me and said, it's mine. This is what my birthright is. I was born into reborn into a kingdom, the kingdom of God, and the promises of God. In His covenant, part of His covenant with us is healing, heaven divine health, and heaven healing. Healing comes from the Lord. God only knows how to be well. He doesn't know how to put sickness on people. You know the thing about Job. That is a totally different story. God was trying to prove something to the enemy. Was proving something to the enemy that no matter what you can do, he will not back down. He was fighting with Satan on it. And God said, here, do what you want with him, because he's still going to be my son after you're done with it. He's still going to praise me. He's still going to worship me. He's still going to give me honor and glory. We've got to have that kind of faith. This is the kind of faith that's kept me alive. People that never had anything serious happen in their life don't get it. They don't get it. They simply don't get it. They don't understand. They don't get that when your life is being threatened, you got to stand up and fight. I said you got to stand. They don't realize when their life's being threatened, they got to stand up and fight. A lot of people said, well, you're just being overzealous. I said, no, absolutely not. You're just convicted of your own lethargy. It's laziness. It's lazy faith. Lazy, quiet, peaceful. I don't get it. Well, you just got to be gentle and you just got to be loving. Got to be easygoing. And you just got to give Jesus all the praise the Lord. Bless God. Give me a break. When in combat do you ever see that in the Marine Corps? In the Marine Corps, you better be on your A game 900 million times. Or you're going to wind up shot and killed. How does a person in combat react when they want a victory? They act out violently. It's a violent kind of faith. that you got to be violent for. You got to be hungry for it. It's in your blood. You got it. It's you've got it, that taste in your mouth. And you got to stand your guard, and you got to keep praying and building yourself up. You just don't understand, Brother John. Maybe, you know, we all have to. We just got to be. You just can't judge. You just can't judge. But I can say, speak up and say when something's not right. I know a rotten rat and a pal if I smelt one. We don't. God doesn't operate like that. The Bible says He's a violent God. Well, you know that all love is love. No, love isn't. No, all love is not love. There's lust and there's love. Violent faith is when your kid's about ready to run out in front in the traffic and a tractor trailer's heading within 5 feet of them. What are you going to do? Oh, bless you, Billy. Lord bless you, Billy. Oh, Billy. Billy, praise Jesus, Billy. You're going to get a hit. That ain't how it works. It works by standing your ground and saying, I'm not backing down, not for nothing, not for anyone. Not for anyone or anything. I am not backing down. I refuse to back down from the plans of the enemy. I'm going to stand up and fight. Satan, you're bringing a knife to a gunfight. You're going to lose, hands down. We've got to stand up and be bold in our faith. Christianity is not some weak religion. No wonder why Islam is mocking us. Why Islam isn't afraid. Islam should be scared to death when we walk down that street because we represent a living God. I said Islam should be scared out of their mind when we come down the street. Just to be honest, and our very presence being there should scare the living hell out of them. Let me go into the scripture. Acts 10:38. I mean, I'm serious. We've gotten away from that violent faith in the church. You know? Where we're standing our ground, that violent worship. You know, I love the song by Bethel. It's called Raise a Hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. Louder than the unbelief. That's violent faith. Something good is going to happen to you. You just got to have that violent faith. That junkyard dog out for a fight. Well, that violent faith may offend people. Who cares? What are you, five? Acts 10:38. I'll start in verse 37. 10:37. That word I say, you know which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with fire and power, who went around about doing good and healing all who were oppressed and sick of the devil. All who were sick and oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses to all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, who they slew and hanged on a tree. For him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not all the people, but witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, to give him all prophets of wisdom witness. Through his name, whoever shall believeth in him shall receive the remission of sins. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on him, which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, which believed and astonished as many, came with Peter, because on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, then showed Peter. That is a violent type of faith. It's demonstrating basically the tenacity of God, the energy of God. It's taking what's yours. It's taking that which Jesus died for. Jesus died so we can have healing in our body. What's the sense of going to the store? Like, say, I go to the antiques shop. I buy all these antiques. I pay for them, and I walk out, and I don't take what I don't take. And somebody buys, like, say, let's change the story a little bit. Okay, change the scenario. I go into an antique shop, and some guy said, "Go ahead and pick out all these antiques," and I picked out every antique you see in here. After they've been paid for and bought, and I walk out the store not taking a single thing with me. How is that? How is that walking out? That's the same thing with our healing. Jesus paid for it. It was already paid for years ago. What better medical coverage can you get than that? I said, what better medical coverage you can get than that is knowing that Jesus died and took the beating and ripped him, and he took sickness, disease upon his body. He says, by his stripes we are healed. Jesus took 39 stripes, 39 hits with a cat of nine tails to his back, just so we can have healing in our body. How much sense is that to make to not receive that? It doesn't make any sense at all. Why worship Jesus when you don't want the goodness of him? Like Pastor Rick Shelton said, people can't have what God have God when you don't and not do what he does. Want what he does. They want God, but they don't want what he does. You can't it all comes with it. It comes with the package. You've got to receive your healing. God created healing. God created healing only. God only created healing. The enemy did not create no healing. I've heard people say, you got to watch it, though. The enemy could be creating that healing in you just to get you cocky. I'm thinking, what? I had some guy told me that today earlier. I said, what? Get lost. You know, stay away from flaky people. People get flaky, you stay away from them. Like I said, get away from weird people. You want to get healed? You get in around people who demonstrate the presence of God, like Dr. Oral Roberts. Mass healing miracles. Because he surrendered himself to God. He sold himself out to God. He knew Jesus Christ beyond a shadow of a doubt was the healer of all mankind. Many, many, many people were healed during his ministry days. One, and you can write this down in your notes and write this on the comment section if you want, and share the broadcast on your page. What I'm going to do seven things right now to get healed. One, you got to have violent faith. You got to have violent faith. Two, you got to stay in your word, in the word. You got to stand on it. You got to meditate on it. I'm not talking about Middle Eastern meditation. Oh, yo. Or, you know, it's constantly speaking it over and over and over again until it gets into your system, until you get all the nutrients out of it and get it into your system and get it in, and get it stirring in your faith and combining your faith. Number three, stay away from weird people. Weird Christians are miracle killers. They come up with some wacky crap. And four, fast. Fast and pray. Shut everything out. Stop being entertained by things. Number five, watch what you entertain yourself with. Watch what you're entertaining yourself with. When you're entertaining yourself with secular things, miracles aren't going to happen. When you're training your spirit, the only way that's going to happen is by training your spirit. Number five, fast and pray. Fast and pray. Shut the mouth. Shut off the flesh. Shut the flesh off. Number six, get in with a good pastor and keep accountable to him and keep him posted. Have people around you praying. Don't be a lone ranger. Even the Lone Ranger had Tano. He always considered him a lone ranger, himself a lone ranger, but he still had Tano. Number seven, do communion. Always do communion. It's not symbolism. You're connecting your faith. It's a point of faith. It's a point of contact. Number eight, put on healing and sleep and sleep with the Word of God playing. That's what I've been doing. I've done it. I'll fall asleep with TBN or I'll put it on YouTube on my view back here in next to my bed, and I'll sleep with Pastor Rodney preaching to me all night long, or Pastor Rick Shelton. I'll put on Pastor Rick or put Jonathan Shuttlesworth, Teddy Shuttlesworth, Ted Shuttlesworth Sr., Tiff Shuttlesworth. I put it all on. Amen. Number nine. Not going to like me for this one. But stay away from anything that's religious. Some of you may not like this, but stay away from anything that's religious. When they're trying to put symbolism over substance, it's not going to happen. Miracles will shut off. But what are you talking about doing communion for? Do communion is to remind yourself of what Jesus did for you. What Jesus did, it's a reminder of what Jesus did so you can receive that healing. Always remember, be a reminder. It's like a memo. It's basically you're making a memo. Yeah, Jesus died for my healing, so I gotta pursue down this route instead of this route. I got nothing else but. They have nothing else to do but I can't lose. I got everything to lose but my healing. I can't afford to lose that. Number 10, get in a good church with a lot of praying people. make sure you have a good prayer team in that church. If a church don't have a good prayer team, you have a church with controlling leadership, get out. Go somewhere else where they're not controlling you. Because normally when there's control in a church leadership, that means there's a lot of idolatry going on. And power of God's not going to move. Last but not least, be a contender for the power of God. Be a contender for the demonstrations and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Be a contender for Him to move in your place. Allow God to move. Don't try to move yourself. Because when you try to do it yourself, it's not going to happen. The reason why Peter was being used in this in chapter 10 is because he was allowing the Holy Spirit to take over. Let the Holy Spirit direct and control your life. Without Him, it can't happen. Without Him, it can't happen. You gotta rely on Him solely. Don't let anybody push you into doing these classes where they teach you you got generational curses and all this other crap. Don't go to that stuff. Get into His Word and get into an anointed pastor that knows how to pray. The reason why you got stuff, those programs out there, is because basically it's because people are too lazy to exercise their faith. So they're reverting to symbolism over substance as a replacement. Like I said, communion is just, it's a memo for you. It's telling you, look, reminding yourself, look, this was paid for through this. Don't worry about it. It's paid for. Paid in full, like what Jesus said on the cross when He died on the cross. He said it was paid in full. I mean, we had great miracles. There was great miracles by these guys because they knew these principles that I'm talking about. They weren't hanging around weird people. Amen. They weren't around all that crap. Lester Sumrall screamed at the devil, "Get out of here in the name of Jesus. The Lord rebuke you in Jesus' name." And he looked around and saw that his bed was moved. He said, "Hey, devil, get back here. You see that bed? I had it over there against that wall. Now you put it against that wall and get out." Bed scooted back over. Devil left. The place went back to normal. You got to know your authority. A lot of people forgot their authority in the body of Christ. Their authority was Jesus. The authority given to them through Jesus Christ. Through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have authority to drive out sickness. We have the power to say, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to leave now in Jesus' name." Amen. He's like, aren't you acting a little harsh? No. I mean, yes, I am. Actually, yes, I am. I take that back. Yes, I am a little bit harsh. Because I'm tired of these Christians that think because they have to have everything, because they don't want to rock the boat with people, and they don't want to actually want to step out and see God actually do something. They'd rather sit in their church pew and receive it all for themselves and not give it out. I'm serious. We've got to be a contender for the things of God. The reason why I stand before you totally healed today is because I stood violently. I stood violently for this healing miracle. I stood violently. I stood up. I praised. I did everything. It was a violent return. A violent retaliation against the devil. We've got to be violent in our faith. We stand our ground and stand our authority. We're a kingdom. You name one kingdom where the kids are all walking around sick all the time. Poor, can't afford nothing. They're not sick because they know how to stand on the things of God. On the things of God. We're a part of a kingdom that knows how that we can't be sick, because when we stand on the things of God, the enemy has no other choice but to flee. The enemy has no power. People need to stop giving the devil power. He's a defeated person. He can only be in one place at one time. He's a created being. He's not a deity. I know the Mormons make it out to where he was Jesus' brother, but Satan's not Jesus' brother. It's a far cry from it. Amen. We're just going to sit back and we're going to close our eyes and we're just going to pray. I'm going to start praying. And I'm going to call out certain things I feel like the Lord's showing me. I know that the Lord is showing me this. Macular degeneration, I speak to that in Jesus' name. Terminal cancer is, somebody's being healed of terminal cancer. There's somebody else that's being healed of lupus. Lupus, in Jesus' name, I speak that gone. Somebody with MS. God's healing somebody with MS. Diverticulitis and celiac disease. It's the same person. You have both diverticulitis and celiac disease. I see God healing all these people right now. I sense that there's a gentleman. He's getting a prognosis to have something removed in here on his pituitary gland. God's removing that tumor. You'll go back to the doctor, and you're going back to the doctor and tell him to recheck you for it. Again, I'm not getting called in on this. I'm not receiving. There's no way to receive calls here. This is straight from heaven. Start praying, everybody. I just ask everybody to be praying. A gentleman's being healed of gout. There's a gentleman, you've had mental disorder for quite some time. It's like you feel trapped in your home. You feel trapped everywhere you go. It's like you break out into a cold sweat having to come out in public, but God's delivering you from that. God's healed you from it. You're healed. I see somebody else that they've got kidney disease. I speak healing. In Jesus' name, I'm going to start praying now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God. Thank you that you sent your Son to die in our place for our sins. Thank you that you took upon our sicknesses. I thank you for the fires of revival. I thank you for what you're doing and all you're going to do and everything you've done. And plus more. We give you praise. We give you honor. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you. I'm going to get going. I'm going to get over on the Periscope Live. I'm going to do a special prayer for our troops. If you want to join with me going over to periscope.com, or I'll see you next Sunday. God bless you. This is a production of the Revival Now Broadcasting Network. For more information on our ministry, please contact us at revivalistjfs3@gmail.com, or for prayer, even for prayer for that matter. Give us a call, 636-368-6490. Give us a call. Shoot me an email again, revivalistjfs3@gmail.com. Revivalistjfs3@gmail.com. God bless you all. Have a great week.